T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, so the biggest news of the day, Chris Sale. He doesn't need Tommy John after all. He got a PRP injection, whatever the hell that means. It's a weird thing if you want to look it up on the internet. It's a weird thing. Hopefully it'll help him heal quicker, get the inflammation down in that elbow. It's worked for some guys. It hasn't for others. Basically, that's the gist of it. Garrett Richards is the guy that had this done. He tried to avoid Tommy John. Pitched for the Angels, now with the Padres. He had it done and then eventually still needed the Tommy John surgery. If you want to hop on board, weigh in. What you think of the Chris Sale situation, the number is 617-779-7937. Another thing I go back to is this. So Chris Sale, we would all agree that for about 8 years, he's been one of the best pitchers in all of Major League Baseball. And you start to look at these numbers. So David Price signed for $217 million a couple of years ago. Max Scherzer signed for $210 million. Zach Greinke signed for $206 million. King Felix, $175 million. He's still getting paid, man. Steven Strasburg, who's been the opposite of durable throughout his career. The guy's always hurt. $175 million. Masahiro Tanaka, $155 million. And Chris Sale takes a $145 million extension this offseason. Like, there wasn't a ton of negotiating going back and forth. Chris Sale just wanted to get a deal done. It's kind of funny, isn't it? Kind of fishy. Chris Sale accepts a well below market value deal for somebody that has been so great throughout his career. Well, what do you think that was? Well, because Chris Sale himself and Chris Sale's representatives had an idea that, oh, maybe this guy's not going to be healthy for the majority of his career. At least the people advising Chris Sale were like, hey, Chris, remember the shoulder thing happened last year? Let's get this deal done. Because Chris Sale, and to his credit, I believe what he says about he just thinks about playing baseball. He just wants to get a deal done. He wants to know where he's going to be every fifth day, wants to know where he's going to be living and all that stuff, right? I do believe that Chris Sale is sincere when he says that. But also, the people representing Chris Sale, his agents and whatnot, are looking at this like, hey, that shoulder thing, maybe that's the start of something. Let's tell Chris, make sure he signs that deal. Because how bad would Chris Sale's agent look right now if Chris Sale didn't sign the $145 million extension? Because we all know if he entered the market this summer, even though, or this winter, I should say, I always say that because I get it confused with the NBA. But nonetheless, this winter, even though he'd be, in terms of name value, it'd be him and Garrett Cole out in the open market, right? He'd have the name value, but nobody would trust the health of Chris Sale. He would not get a big long-term contract extension from anybody this winter. So the biggest winner in all this is Chris Sale. Give his agent a ton of credit. Give Chris Sale a ton of credit because he assured himself $145 million going forward, and nobody can tell me they actually have faith in this guy going forward. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Steve. He's in Miami tonight. What's up, Steve?
How you doing, my friend Brian? How's everything?
Good, good, Steve.
Okay, first of all, let's blame the past regime, Luciano and a few others, because you're talking about, you know, I understand that Lester, and then I want to just quickly ask you about Ryan Allen, but Lester and Sale are definitely two different pitchers, but I think it's the neglect of signing him and seeing what happened, Lester I'm talking about, and I think they just jumped and didn't want to have another Lester situation, and they figured, okay, he's been a good pitcher. They overlooked everything else, and I think they sort of got snowballed into thinking they were going to lose another lefty and all that. And the last regime, let's also remember, they're the ones who signed Sandoval, really handcuffing the current Red Sox regime.
Steve, hold on one second. I don't know. How much did... Look, I understand you can have your criticisms of Ben Sherrington, et cetera, but I don't know how that handicapped the Red Sox right now because they still signed Price. They still signed Chris Sale to an extension. They still signed Nathan Eovaldi to extension. They signed Xander Bogaerts to an extension. So I don't think that's hurt the front office. Now, in terms of the luxury tax bill and all that different type of stuff, you can point to maybe that's part of the reason they didn't go after a reliever at the deadline. But you could have still done that without reaching that number. So I don't think this has anything to do with the previous regime. The previous regime had nothing to do with Chris Sale.
No, not Chris Sale. But John Henry kept on saying, I'm not going to spend any more money. And part of that money is Sandoval. Part of that money is Hanley Ramirez, and I think
right.
That
but Steve, I don't get how that relates. Steve, hold on. I don't get how that relates to Chris Sale. They chose to spend money on Chris Sale.
Well, no. I'm just overall saying that I think the old regime, not doing going after Lester, I think John Henry just did not want to have it happen two times in a row. That's all I'm saying. That I think is
I agree. No, and he even admitted
Lesteritis.
Yeah, Steve. Good point. He admitted to that. John Henry essentially admitted to that they botched the Lester situation. They didn't want it to happen again. But the problem was they didn't evaluate. It's almost like they got so scarred by the John Lester situation, Steve, like they didn't want it to happen again. And they didn't really have an open mind of what could actually happen to Chris Sale because he doesn't have the build that John Lester has. And he had been hurt last year. You didn't make him prove it. It was almost like they were so fearful that they could lose a guy that they were the ones that were desperate and they made sure to get the deal done.
Right. And don't forget, his first year here, didn't he break down in September? His first year as well?
Well, he was horrible. He didn't have an injury, but he had an ERA north of 370 his first year here in September.
Yeah.
So it's three years where 2017, he has a 370 ERA. Last year, he pitches 12 innings. And then you look at this year, of course, he's not going to throw a single pitch in September.
Right. Now, two other points. One for the Patriots. But first of all, I agree with you. I think last week you said, try Marco Hernandez. Keep him at second. They bring up those Chris Owings. I'm sorry. You're sitting down a guy batting .300 for a guy who's batting .133. I just don't get it.
I totally understand what you're saying. I don't get their fixation with this Chris Owings guy. He was DFA'd by the Royals. It's not like he's a young player.
Right.
He's 28 years old. Why don't you just see what you have with Marco Hernandez? Let him play every day.
Exactly.
And if Marco Hernandez plays well, then you know you have a second baseman next year. So that's not something you have to address in the offseason. The other thing, if Marco Hernandez doesn't work out, you have to bring back Brock Holt next year.
Right. Well, actually, I hope he comes back anyways because he's a fun player. But now, my Patriots thing. Mm-hmm. I know that they're about to release Ryan Allen. There's a lot of teams that need punters. Can't they at least trade him for a sixth round instead of just releasing? He was so good the last few years, especially in the Super Bowl. It's amazing that a team doesn't say, hey, listen, I'll give you a fifth, sixth, whatever round pick for him because, he has shown that he's a solid punter. And just to release him, I just don't understand that. I would think that there's some teams that do need a punter, and he has been solid.
Yeah, that's interesting. I appreciate the phone call, by the way, Steve. You can grab his line at 617-779-7937. I didn't think about that today when they decided to release Ryan Allen. But I would assume with this organization, the Patriots, more so than like the Red Sox organization, that they did their due diligence and they weren't going to get something of value for trading away Ryan Allen. I would also think this too. Actually, this would be more if it was the Red Sox. Like the fact that Ryan Allen was somebody that played a pivotal role on the Patriots the past couple of years. He's part of three Super Bowl teams. And he was great in the Super Bowl, right? With the field position and all that. Maybe they're doing him a solid, right? Maybe they're doing him a solid. If they're like, maybe we'll get a future conditional seventh round pick. Like if that was what they were going to get, a conditional seventh round pick, maybe they're like, I'm going to let Ryan Allen pick where he wants to go. But in all likelihood, the situation was, okay, he's not going to get us anything in return, so we'll just release the guy. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Mike in Warren, Rhode Island. What's up, Mike?
How you doing? Maybe Ryan can pick some late innings for the Red Sox.
Well, Mike, you heard my suggestion a couple weeks ago, right, for the bullpen. We just do what they did in, what was that movie that Vince Papale, Mark Wahlberg played him? They had open tryouts. That's what we should do. We should just go out to the Boston Common and Invincible. See if you can get some ringers that can throw like 95. Why not? Be better than the crap they have in the bullpen now.
Can you do this in a hurry? I got into this a little late. I said, I think this is all duck boat signings. I said, where's Steve Pierce right now? You don't even have him on the roster. I said, Evaldi came back, but where the hell's Evaldi? You're not getting nothing out of him. He looked terrible yesterday. I'm an Orioles fan, and he made us look good.
Yeah, Mike, you know what's crazy about all this is really, if you think about it now, the Bogarts situation was different. He went to the front office and he basically asked for the extension. They were giving out extensions everywhere. You get an extension, you get one, you get one. So he finally was like, hey, can I get one? Because he wanted to be here. But you know what's crazy about what you said? The most defensible contract out of all those, and I'm not saying I'm a fan of this contract, but the most defensible one out of all those is actually Steve Pierce. Because you said, all right, you brought him over last year because he could hit lefties and you were going to have like a platoon situation, right? So that's actually the most defensible out of all these, because Sale hadn't proven he could stay healthy and you gave him $145 million. And Nathan Eovaldi, for his whole career, he's been like an average pitcher and he hasn't stayed healthy. And you gave him a 4-year contract worth $68 million. Now, I never liked the Steve Pierce contract to begin with, but at least it was only a 1-year deal. At least it was only a 1-year deal. That's somehow the most defensible out of this, which is shocking to say because he's been a non-factor.
He's always been a fly-by-night guy. He's played for every team in the AL East, hasn't he?
Yeah, and the Orioles twice.
No, I said, I think every team in the AL East.
Yep.
Maybe, yeah, he did play for Toronto.
Yeah, he played for the Rays. He played, all of them.
But I said, they're on the backboard. Sign him. Yeah. They get him. And that's how they seem to think. I said, they signed him because everybody wanted him re-signed, and I think they threw away a lot of money. Like you said, Chris Sale. I said, I'd look at Chris Sale. Like you said, he's not the guy. When you look at John Lester, I said, they're built. I said, the Roger Clemens is of the ages. They were built. Those guys were built for the long haul. These guys aren't anymore. I said, I look at a lot of, you look at Clayton Kershaw. He goes down all the time. I mean, these guys are built like they used to be. There's a lot of money in pitching. And some of it is ill-advised.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call, Mike. It's a fair point. I like that terminology, the duck boat deals. That's how I'm labeling. He said duck boat signings. I'm saying duck boat deals. That's what these Red Sox contract extensions were. But that's the reality with Chris Sale. He has a slender build. He has an awkward delivery. Anybody could have told you he was going to age poorly. Like, everybody could have told you that. I remember Buster Olney crushing it when it happened. I myself crushed this Chris Sale signing when it happened. I never understood it. It was, they were thinking with their hearts rather than their mind. And all because of this John Lester situation back in 2014? I mean, come on. You got to run your business in a better way than that if you're a John Henry. And this is one that you can't, look, Dave Dombrowski's done a lot of bad things with this team. But you can't look at Dave Dombrowski for this one and just solely Dave Dombrowski. John Henry, we just played through the comments. John Henry made it abundantly clear that he wanted Chris Sale. It's like they were so hurt by the John Lester situation. They looked so bad from it. They didn't want that bad PR. Again, that's what they were afraid of. Really, they were afraid of the blowback because remember what happened in that 2014 botchery of the contract, if you will. Everybody was all over the Red Sox, especially when the numbers came out, what they offered John Lester. They offered him like the same money as, what was the dude's name that looks like Christian Bale? Homer Bailey, right? Homer Bailey got more money than that. You're like, who the hell's Homer Bailey? Exactly the point. So they look so bad from an optics standpoint with the John Lester situation. That's what they were scared of. So they didn't think about this from a pure baseball standpoint, and that's what really cost them. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Mike in North Providence. What's going on tonight, Mike?
Hey, Brian. Yeah, you know, I got to be honest with you. When it comes to the whole Steve Pierce thing, I find the criticism of that contract to just be absurd. I think that what's Dombrowski supposed to do? He literally re-upped the guy in a 1-year deal at the same exact rate he got paid the year before.
Right. Well,
he's supposed to know he's going to get hurt.
Well, Mike,
master time and space.
Well, Mike, from my perspective, the bigger issue is the Chris Sale and the Nathan Eovaldi contracts. Like, and you just put Steve Pierce on top of the whole thing. But I don't think Steve Pierce is like a big narrative here. I think it's more about the Chris Sale extension going forward and the Nathan Eovaldi contract extension going forward. Those are the ones to me that were just so baffling. Because first of all, you look at Eovaldi. He's had an ERA north of 4 for his entire career. He had a nice postseason, but he's never been a consistent pitcher. And the Red Sox thought they were going to figure him out like nobody else has been able to figure him out because he pitched well for a certain stretch. And then with Chris Sale, I mean, Mike, everybody could see that Chris Sale was not going to age well.
Well, I didn't think that they were going to re-sign him to begin with. When
right.
they did, I didn't think it was a terrible deal at the time. I mean, I figured that they knew what was going on with his health, whatever, if they had a plan. I didn't know all the ins and outs. I was just happy it wasn't some sort of 7-year deal. But the thing is, I think it's always very important, if you're going to be making criticisms, to really, like, make fair criticisms. To ever bring Steve Pierce into this whole discussion is nonsensical.
Mike, the reason it came up is the caller brought up all the signings they had in terms of what they did after last year's World Series. I wasn't bringing up Steve Pierce myself in terms of this discussion tonight. Nope. He just brought up all the signings that they made after the World Series. That's the only reason we referenced Steve Pierce, because he asked the question. He just referenced all the guys they signed from last year. That's it. But the Steve Pierce thing, I mean, that's like a small little thing. If you look at those three deals, that's the contract that's going to age the best, because he's off the books after this year, and it was only $6 million.
Yeah, sometimes contracts just don't work out because the guy gets hurt, and how are you supposed to know? I mean, with regards to Sale and with regards to Eovaldi, they should have known better.
Yeah.
I'm not looking at the medical reports, but they should have known from within the organization and had, you know, been a little wiser. With regards to Sale, you brought up earlier, can he still be successful? I think he can be. I mean, I hope he doesn't, like, you know, end up getting this Tommy John. But, you know, from his history and the way this is going, it seems like to me like this is going to happen.
Yeah.
But what he definitely needs to do is he needs to add a cutter. Hella high water. You know what? It's high stress on him to be going for strikeouts all the time. And if he can just kind of find that intermediate pitch in between the slider and the fastball and be able to pitch to contact more, I think it'd just be better for him. Overall, I think he'd throw fewer pitches per inning. I think he might find it less stressful on him, because it's like his whole thing is to just be dealing as hard as possible and try to make the guy miss entirely. And I think that in and of itself is kind of bad for him. And I don't think his arm can take it. And, you know, one of the disturbing things with him is if he overthrows the next week, like, you know, he's on the disabled list. Remember when he came out last year?
Yeah.
He came off the DL. He's throwing 100 miles an hour, and yeah, right back on the DL again.
No, you're exactly Mike, and I think the cutter is a good point, because that's the exact pitch that CC Sabathia developed later on in his career to extend his career. And obviously, CC, compared to Chris Sale, Sale's still got a lot more left in the tank than CC did at the time that he developed the cutter. But it's definitely going to be a third pitch. That's why I referenced he already has the changeup, but the cutter could be something. And the other thing you bring up is the strikeouts, because we saw Chris Sale's the fastest guy to 2,000 strikeouts, whatever it is. So maybe it's a mentality thing, too, where can you get Chris Sale to pitch to contact more? Because even his last two outings, Mike, you look at it, 12 strikeouts, 13 strikeouts, that's great. But the bottom of the lineup, can you just pitch to contact more? That would help him out going forward.
As you pointed out in the past, you know, he's not really a precision pitcher. He relied on his stuff to get him by.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's going to need to kind of learn to hit his spots. He needs to learn to pitch. And we've seen this in the past with other guys where they've been able to do it. And I think that he has the ability to be able to do it. It's just he's a very pig-headed guy, and he likes to do things his way. And somebody needs to be really, really straight with him and get across the point that his way isn't working anymore, and it never really will. So,
yeah, fair enough. I appreciate the phone call, Mike. Great call as always. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. I'm interested. I agree with what Mike's saying there. Who's going to be the guy that has that conversation with Chris Sale? Is it going to have to be the manager, Alex Cora? Is it going to have to be somebody that Chris Sale works with in the offseason? But somebody's going to have to need to get to Chris Sale and be like, dude, listen, man. You've been trying to do this for the past 2 years, and you're not healthy. So do you want to live up to that five-year, $145 million extension? Because it looked like Chris Sale, every time he went to the podium after he failed this year, it killed him, right? That's what you love about Chris Sale. Like Andrew Kastner, for example, he's joking around, talking about, oh, you think this is it for me? Like, he was joking around after he had a terrible start, after like his fourth bad start here as a member of the Red Sox. It legitimately was killing Chris Sale inside when he was not going out there and performing at a high level. So that's what somebody has to get to Chris Sale and say, hey, if you keep doing it your way, you're very stubborn. If you keep doing it your way, it's going to hurt you long term. You're not going to be able to age well. You're going to continue to go on the IL. And if you don't go on the IL, you know what's going to happen, Chris? You're going to pitch like you have last year. We had a 440 ERA, referencing this year. That's what's going to happen if you don't adjust your game. Or you're going to be hanging out with Dr. James Andrews for the foreseeable future because you keep getting hurt. So somebody is going to have that conversation with Chris Sale so he can evolve as a pitcher. All right, a lot more to get into. If you want to weigh in, the number is 617-779-7937. We'll get to the Josh Gordon situation as well if you want to weigh in on that. But I want to get to one other thing with the Red Sox in terms of concerns going forward with this team. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEEI. We'll get you trending in just a second.
93.7 FM, WEEI.
8-3-2, runner goes, swinging a drive to left field deep. Way back by the light tower and into the light tower, a three-run homer for Renato Nunez, 3-0 Orioles. Oh, that was a no-doubter.
All right, well, he looked good yesterday, Nathan Eovaldi, so you feel good about that signing, right? Three more years of that after this year at $17 million per season. 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour and a half or so, WEEI Late Night. So this is what I was thinking about today. The 2020 Red Sox could be worse than the 2019 Red Sox, which is scary to think about, right? Because you look at the Sox lineup right now, entering today, you're second in runs and you're first in batting average, yet you're 16 and a half games back in the division and you're 6.5 games back of that second wild card spot. That's with arguably the best offense in all of Major League Baseball. And the offense this year is actually better than the offense last year from a statistical perspective. And then you look at this pitching situation. Who are you depending on? Chris Sale, career worst, 4.40 ERA, is getting a PRP injection in his elbow. He's had injuries the past couple of years. We don't know if in 6 weeks he's just going to go back there and they say their swelling's down. He could go back there and they should say, oh, still dealing with an elbow issue. Still not sure what this situation is going forward. So he may not even be healthy next year. We still don't know that for a fact. We don't know that about Chris Sale. Okay, so Chris Sale and then, oh, David Price. 4.36 ERA this season. The worst of his career. He just went on the DL, the IL, sorry. He's been dealing with a wrist situation. Apparently he's going to throw a bullpen on Tuesday afternoon, but we don't know when he's coming back. He's got three more years remaining on his contract, and he's been horrible ever since the Dennis Eckersley situation. So are you depending on David Price going forward? And we found out basically every year that David Price has come over and joined this team, outside of the first year, he's been injured, right? You even go back to the Cleveland series a couple of years ago. Remember, he pitched well out of the bullpen, but he had to come out of the bullpen. So he's been dealing with all these injuries ever since, or excuse me, that was the Houston series when he came out of the bullpen with the elbow issue. But he's had carpal tunnel. He's had elbow issues. He's had all this different type of stuff. This year, he's got a wrist injury. So it's always something with David Price in terms of the injuries. That's going to continue as he ages. Remember, he's going to enter his 34-year-old season next year. So Chris Sale's a question mark. David Price is a definite question mark. You know he's good for at least a couple trips to the IL. Nathan Eovaldi, who you just heard there, he gave up 5 earned in 2 innings yesterday against the Orioles. The Orioles! He gave up 5 earned in 2 innings against the Baltimore Orioles, one of the worst teams in all of Major League Baseball. He got shelled by them yesterday. And quite frankly, we don't even know how many pitches he's going to be able to throw the remainder of the season. Yesterday, all Alex Cora asked out of this guy was 55 to 60 pitches. He couldn't even give him that. He gave him 43 pitches, only 23 of them were strikes. You got 3 more years of this guy, who now has had 4 procedures on his elbow. And oh, by the way, for his career, he's got an ERA north of 4.20. He's never been good. He had 1 run in the postseason last year, and the Red Sox got suckered in, and they said, oh, that's who he's going to be long-term. They believed in the player that they saw in the postseason. What the Red Sox did with the Nathan Eovaldi signing was a sign of complete arrogance. They said, hey, see what we got out of Nathan Eovaldi in the postseason last year? Nobody else has been able to do that with Nathan Eovaldi. We're the team that figured it out. Well, the guy's been in the league for like a decade, okay? He's turning 30, okay? You think that you were the geniuses that figured out Nathan Eovaldi and he was going to be a great pitcher going forward? No, this is what Nathan Eovaldi does. He shows signs, but he's not consistent. He just so happened to show signs last year in the postseason that the Red Sox bought in hook, line, and sinker and said, hey, this is going to be a great pitcher going forward. And the reality of the situation is what? He's never going to be the guy he was in the postseason again. He's never going to be the guy that posted a 1.61 ERA. Nathan Eovaldi's not that good. Look at his damn resume. He's never been a good pitcher. He's been an average-level pitcher, not to mention the fact he's been an injury-prone pitcher, and we've seen that situation happen again this year with Nathan Eovaldi. Hasn't been good, and he's been injured. That's who Nathan Eovaldi is, and that's who Nathan Eovaldi has always been throughout his major league career. We just got a great glimpse of what he did in the postseason, but he's never been a consistent pitcher. That's why there wasn't an overwhelming market for Nathan Eovaldi's services this offseason. Who are you bidding against? The Astros are like, wait, you're paying him $17 million. Okay, we're good. We'll figure this out long term. They end up trading for Grinke at the deadline. See how that worked out for them? Okay, so Eovaldi you can't depend on. You can't depend on Price. You don't know what's going to happen with Sale. You can't depend on him. And then, oh, by the way, Erod's like the only guy you could depend on. And Erod, he has what, like a 4.20 ERA? Okay, 4.10 ERA. It's down to 4.10 now. Erod's been fine. He's had a pretty good season. But it's, and look, he's going deeper into games over the past couple of outings. Great. But it's not like you're coming back with an upper echelon pitcher in Major League Baseball. He's fine. He can fit in somewhere between 2 and 5 in the rotation, okay? But he's never going to be this overwhelming superstar like you thought he may be when you traded away Andrew Miller way back in 2014 and you acquired Erod, who was the number one pitching prospect in the Orioles organization at that point in time. He's never going to be the ace of the staff, but okay, you can depend on one guy. That's it. And if you look at the math on this, between Eovaldi, Price, and Sale, they will be making $79 million between the trio of those guys next year. And I'm telling you, there's not one of them that I feel confident about going into next season based on injuries and based on performances. And that's an alarming thing from the Red Sox. And you also look at the fact, like, I chatted, Nick and I were talking about this off the air yesterday. Think about the Cleveland Indians. They now have 3 guys on their pitching staff from the 2016 draft, and 2 guys really good, right? You look at it with Clevinger and with Plesac. Both those guys they drafted in 2016. Corey Kluber is somebody that they drafted. So the Indians have been able to draft and develop pitchers. How come the Red Sox, the last pitcher, starting pitcher they developed was Clay Buchholz? How come they can't develop any pitchers? How come this has been an epidemic with this organization for a number of years? This isn't just in the Dave Dombrowski era. This has been Sherrington. This is Theo Epstein. How come this organization can't develop a starting pitcher? It's atrocious. 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour and a half or so. WEI Late Night. Let's get to Paul. He's in Framingham tonight. What's up, Paul?
Hey, Brian. How are you doing tonight?
Good.
Hey, just to my point, actually, you were just talking about it was like $80 million tied up in Sale, Price, and Eovaldi next year alone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people are like, yeah, money's coming off the books. Money's coming off the books. We'll get another starter. But if you think about it, right, we're going to pay $15 million more next year for Chris Sale than we did this year.
Right.
And Erod's going into arbitration in the offseason. How much do you think he's going to get? Because I'm guessing $12 to $15 million. Based on a good season, he's going to get another $10 million. So you're actually going to pay $25 million more. And if you let Porcello walk, so you're basically paying about $5 million more to have one less starting pitcher. So what are you going to do to get another starter? I think trading Mookie Betts for a starter is the only, for a young starter that's under control and cheap, is probably their only choice to actually have, you know, another arm within their budget. What do you think about that?
I'm with you, Paul. That's the only way out of this situation. Is Mookie Betts the most value that he could possibly bring to the Red Sox is fetching you starting pitchers in the long term, whether that's the Braves, whoever the case may be. That is his biggest value to this.
But if you don't mind, I just want to say I never call this station, but I was that guy calling every show about once or twice in February, screaming and yelling, and they're like, no, but he, you know, we won the World Series. This is great. You should be happy. No, Belichick wouldn't do that. You say that's stupid. You're not going to sign Eovaldi for 3 years. Are you crazy? Are you smoking crack? ERA 8 and 8? That guy makes $17 million a year? David, the price is wrong. Chris Frail? I mean, those guys are going to make $80 million bucks next year. And the year after that, and the year after that. So, like, yeah, we won last year. That's great. But that's like a loser mentality. You know, we're not all pink hats here, are we? Like, I want to win this year. I want to win next year.
Right.
Anyways, that's my 2 cents.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Paul. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. To the point about Mookie Betts. I've been on record. I've said it multiple times. I would trade Mookie Betts this offseason. It doesn't seem like he wants to be here just based on his actions, despite the fact that he had to come out and basically say that, oh, just because I want to enter free agency doesn't mean I want to leave. Okay, then why haven't you signed yet, right? I mean, that's the reality of the situation. And in all seriousness, though, I don't want to sign Mookie Betts long term. I don't want to see Mookie Betts in a Red Sox uniform for the next decade on a $325, $300 million contract. I don't think he's going to age well. He's 5'10", 180. You're fine offensively. You have Devers, who's turning into one of the best players in Major League Baseball. You have Xander Bogaerts, who's hitting for power. I believe that J.D. Martinez is going to be back. I'm not concerned about the offense. What I'm concerned about is what I just laid out for you. $79 million to 3 pitchers you can't depend on going into next season. What this team needs is pitching. They don't need an outfielder like Mookie Betts making $325 million. It's not going to help this team in terms of the results, in terms of getting back into the win column consistently. What they need is starting pitching. And they can acquire that on the open market if they put Mookie Betts out there this offseason. Do you really want to have one of those 10-year contracts? Those never age well. Look at Pujols' contract. Look at Miguel Cabrera's contract. Look at A-Rod's contract at the end with the Yankees. Those contracts do not age well. Mike Trout may be the exception to the rule, but he's like the best player in the sport and may go down as the best player ever if he continues at this trajectory. Let's get to Mark. He's in New Hampshire tonight. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Brian, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have been really discouraged the past few years. I have not been interested in baseball at all. It keeps going south. I started back in the 69. I'm wicked old, back when the Mets beat Baltimore. Probably started for me during the Crawford-Lackey years when it had this strong feeling like we had these guys with these big contracts we're just stuck with. They're getting shoved down our throat, and the stuff continues with Sale here, right? With Sale, with Price. So as far as, like, big reasons why baseball's been going south, that's one of the biggies right there. I appreciated the other caller who mentioned, like, if this is a team that Belichick and the Patriots were fielding, they would have bounced all these guys here. They would have given them incentive-laden contracts and stuff like this. Seems like once these guys get their contracts, they just, like, you know, they're just complacent and they're fat cats and they play lousy.
Yeah, Mark, you're exactly right, and I appreciate the phone call. You can grab his line at 617-779-7937. Remember, Darrell Revis, he was a hired gun for the Patriots, and the Jets wanted to give him, what was it, like $60 million, and Belichick said, yeah, we're good. We're good. We don't need you anymore. Fine, go ahead. Chandler Jones, a guy that played at a high level and actually led the league in sacks a couple of years ago in Arizona. The Patriots have won two Super Bowls since they traded him away because Belichick's like, I'm not putting all my money into you. And Chandler Jones was still a good player, but he realized, like, that's not where you want to put your money. How many times have we seen Belichick get rid of a player a year too early rather than a year too late? He consistently does that. That's the opposite way of how the Red Sox handled this offseason. Everything the Red Sox did this offseason was the complete opposite of what Bill Belichick did. They were paying for past performance, and that always is going to bite you. Even if it's a sport where you don't have a salary cap, it's eventually going to hurt you because you have all this money lined up in Chris Sale and David Price and Nathan Eovaldi. Like, just imagine if they didn't sign Nathan Eovaldi and Chris Sale last offseason. You would go into this season, right, or go into next offseason and say, all right, so you can't sign Chris Sale. After what just happened, you can't sign Chris Sale. And then you would have money to say in the offseason where you could flex your financial muscles because that's where the Red Sox advantage is, right? Clearly, it's not in drafting pitching. But where your advantage is it's in the market where you can flex your financial muscles. So if the Red Sox hadn't signed Sale and they hadn't signed Eovaldi, they just brought Chris Sale back and they signed some other pitcher that wasn't Nathan Eovaldi on a cheap deal, which they could have easily done. You get some guy to fill out the rotation, right? Probably would have been better than Nathan Eovaldi because at least he wouldn't have been hurt, right? This hypothetical player I'm putting out there. But nonetheless, getting back to the original point, if you didn't have Sale and Eovaldi under contract long term, you know what you could have done this offseason? You could have said, hey, Gerrit Cole, how much you want? We'll give you the most money on the market because Gerrit Cole is still a really good pitcher. You could have done that if you're the Red Sox because you have Sale and because you have Eovaldi under contract now, not going to be able to do that because you're not going to have the financial wiggle room to sign another pitcher to a $30 million contract. And that's exactly what Gerrit Cole is going to get. But the Red Sox wanted to reward the guys, I should say, for winning the World Series last year. Congratulations. Where is that getting you? Dave Dombrowski, John Henry, etc. Well, where it's getting Dave Dombrowski is fired at the end of the season. So you talk about an offseason that is vital to an organization. There hasn't been one more vital to the Red Sox in ages because you have all these great position players. You got to get rid of Mookie Betts in my mind. And then you got to figure out what you're doing with this starting rotation. And Dave Dombrowski is probably not going to be doing the job. So you got to hire a president of baseball operations as well. Not like the Red Sox have anything to do this offseason, huh? Hire a new president and trade Mookie Betts and pick up starting pitching in the future. And not like they're going to have a busy offseason, huh? Jeez, at least they're interesting. I will say that. Even when the Red Sox suck, like they suck right now, at least they are interesting. The number 617-779-7937. If you want to hop on board, weigh in on what's going on with the Red Sox, this Chris Sale situation, that's still on the table. I do want to get to some Patriots stuff as well. How many teams are actually a legitimate threat to them in the AFC? And also, a former Patriot was absolutely atrocious tonight. We'll get into that. Brian Barrett with you on WEEI.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Third down and six. Looking for Breida, and that ball is intercepted. Isaac Yiadom picking off Jimmy Garoppolo. Bradley Chubb got pressure, and Yiadom, in his second year out of Boston College, comes up with the pick.
Yeah, it's nice pressure from Bradley Chubb getting to the quarterback's face, and Jimmy kind of threw that one blind. Watching number 26, Isaac Yiadom goes up. It's a 50-50 ball. I like Garoppolo hitting and giving his receiver an opportunity to get the ball on a 50-50 play.
All right, that was the call on ESPN tonight, Monday Night Football. The number is 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour or so, WEI Late Night. Jimmy Garoppolo throwing an interception. By the way, Joe Tessitore, why is it necessary for him on that play to say, the second-year guy at a Boston College? Not necessary. You don't have to mix that into the play when he just throws an interception. The second-year man at a Boston College. I'm not doing a Tess impression, but you get the point. It seems like Joe Tessitore, every time he does a broadcast, there's so much useless information he wants to put into it. It's like the guy, and I'm not saying this as a criticism, he prepares so much that he feels like every little nugget that he puts into his preparation, he has to get onto the broadcast.
In his second year out of Boston College.
What the hell is that? Like, it's like me, okay? I have things that I want to talk about. Sometimes I don't get to all of them. That's what happens. That's the reality of what you're doing, Joe Tessitore. My God, I forgot how annoying Joe Tessitore is in the Monday night booth. At least Witten's gone. Booger McFarlane, I can live with Booger McFarlane as long as that Boogermobile is gone. Like, that thing was so stupid last year. And apparently, like, what was happening with that is it was blocking people's views, like, at the game. You'd buy a bunch, or you'd spend a bunch of money to sit in the first or the second row. You couldn't see the damn field because of the Boogermobile. Now he's up there with Joe Tessitore instead of Jason Witten. By the way, is he Witten now? Doesn't have hair? So he had fake hair last year, we're finding out. But anyway, that was a complete digression. I want to get back to Jimmy Garoppolo. So he finishes the day. You heard the interception. 1 of 6 for 0 yards with the pick. He had the interception you just heard there. He also had a dropped interception, and he had 2 passes batted down. And I'm really starting to look at Jimmy Garoppolo and saying, maybe we've already seen the best of this guy. Because it seems like there's this outcry locally, and there's been this push locally that everybody wants to see Jimmy Garoppolo come back here after Tom Brady's done with the Patriots. And I just look at what Jimmy Garoppolo's done throughout his career, and my question is, what has he done? What exactly is this guy's resume? Okay, so we think back to 2016, the year the Patriots won the Super Bowl, and Brady was serving the Deflategate suspension. He played pretty well for a couple of games, and then he went down with the injury. So again, his body betrayed him, just like happened last year with the injury in terms of the ACL. But in 2017, he played with the Niners, and everybody got like so excited because Jimmy Garoppolo went 5-0 down the stretch of the season. He wasn't even that good, like from a statistical standpoint. 7 touchdowns and 5 interceptions, threw a lot of interceptions. This dude tends to turn the football over. And then if you look at it, he played in 3 games last year before he went down with that ACL injury. You know what his completion percentage was? 59. They were 1-2 when Jimmy Garoppolo got knocked out of that game with an ACL tear. And remember, the hit he took against the Dolphins, Brady would not have suffered that type of injury. Brady knows how to take hits. Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't. Last year, he tried to extend the play a little bit too long, so he took a shot to the knee. And a lot of quarterbacks would have been fine taking that shot, but Jimmy Garoppolo is so skinny, he's so slight of build, that he can't take hits like that. And we make it out to be like Jimmy Garoppolo's this young stud in the league. He's going to be 28 in November. Jimmy Garoppolo is not exactly like a young quarterback. You look at, say, like Deshaun Watson in Houston, the guy's 23. Sam Darnold's 22, right? And we group Jimmy Garoppolo in with these young quarterbacks, and he's really not young. He was drafted in 2014. Remember, that's a long time ago that Jimmy Garoppolo was actually drafted in the NFL. It's been a long time since then. Like, you've had a lot of quarterbacks drafted after Jimmy Garoppolo, right? You think about some of the elite players in the league when you're looking at a guy like Carson Wentz. Even a guy that's not an elite player, but a really good player, although he didn't show that in the Super Bowl. Jared Goff, he was drafted in, what, 2016? Baker Mayfield was drafted 2 years ago. Deshaun Watson was drafted 3 years ago. So Jimmy Garoppolo was drafted before all those guys. So it seems like to me, what happened was Jimmy Garoppolo was nurtured in the perfect system under one of the best offensive coaches in the NFL in Josh McDaniels, the best coach in the NFL in Bill Belichick. He was in the perfect system. And I'm not disputing the fact the guy's got a quick release, but if you watch him over the past couple of years, and I don't want to get too X's and O's on you rather, because I'm not the NFL expert that Josh McDaniels is. But if you watch Jimmy Garoppolo, he doesn't step into his passes. He doesn't step into his passes whatsoever. That's why he throws so many balls that aren't even close to his wide receivers. Yeah, he made a nice jump on the ball, Jimmy. Well, we'll see what's going to happen, because if you look at Kyle Shanahan, remember, Kyle Shanahan is somebody that in 2012 was the offensive coordinator for Robert Griffin III. And Robert Griffin III that season won the Rookie of the Year. So he designed an unbelievable offense for Robert Griffin III where they were using a lot of pistol stuff. And remember, the year after that is when Robert Griffin III famously went into the meeting room with Kyle Shanahan and Mike Shanahan and said, basically, we're running none of the read option stuff. It's like, hey, Robert, that's why you're good. because of the read options. If we take that out, you're going to suck. And they took it out, and look what happened to Robert Griffin III. He sucked. But anyway, Kyle Shanahan had a really successful run with Robert Griffin when he actually allowed him to coach him. And then you look at Kyle Shanahan goes to Atlanta, and he becomes the coordinator for Matt Ryan. First year is a little shaky. Ryan doesn't trust the system. And then what happens the second year that Kyle Shanahan's the offensive coordinator there? Oh, yeah, they go all the way to the Super Bowl. The Patriots, of course, come back from that 28-3 deficit. But Matt Ryan wins the MVP award. And that Atlanta offense, after that season, they tied the greatest show on turf Rams for the eighth most points in the history of an NFL season. That's how good they were. So if Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't make it work this year in San Francisco, the Niners have an out at the end of that contract. So this has to be the year for Jimmy Garoppolo. And the problem for him is this, too. You look at the division he's playing in. You have the Rams, who made it to the Super Bowl a season ago. They're a very good team. Seattle made it to the playoffs a year ago. So you got to deal with those two teams in your own division. And Jimmy Garoppolo has apparently looked awful in practice. Now, I'm not going to super read into everything that's going on at practice because I'm not watching it. But I watched him play today for a couple of series. He looked horrible. He looked lost out there. And we haven't seen Jimmy Garoppolo play at a high level since the end of the season in 2017. He wasn't good last year when he played. Was not good last year when he played. So all these people in this town that appear to want Jimmy Garoppolo back, I would ask you the question, why? You just think magically he's going to be the quarterback he was for six quarters just because he comes back in the system? I just, quite frankly, I don't believe in the player. All right, the number is 617-779-7937 if you want to hop on board. If you want to weigh in on Chris Sale, that is still on the table. Plus, I want to get to this with the Patriots. We'll get to the Josh Gordon situation, but also this. How many teams in the AFC do you think are actual legitimate threats to the Patriots? I'll get to that in just a little bit. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.